You're listening to Ink Speak, where storytelling and poetry meet the wonder and magic of living. I'm your captain, author, poet, and unearther of life, Maverick Malone. Today's episode is something I recorded a while ago, back on my latest solo trip when I was in the Little Red Caboose, which was episode one. I recorded some of that, but what I wanted to share today was me just another travelogue style, me just voice noting myself when I was sitting in this field the next morning, just having thoughts, reflecting on my time. And it's a very raw episode. It's a very rambling kind of episode, but I really enjoy these just because of I never know the direction that they're going to take. And I cover a whole bunch of topics, a lot of personal stuff. I think there's also, hopefully, some things you'll find wise, some advice in here. And the one thing that I wanted to preface before we get into this is just I was recording this straight off my phone, so I didn't have my podcast equipment with me because I was sitting outside. And if it sounds a little like you'll hear me popping my peas a lot, if you know what that means, recording lingo. The sound is not great, and you'll be able to pick up things like the wind, the background noise, the birds, which that's a bonus. But just bear with me with the sound because I think what I have to say is worth putting this as an episode. So I hope you enjoy.
Good morning. Gosh, I don't even know what day it is. I'm at a little Airbnb that is the Little Red Caboose. So it's literally the caboose of a train car that's been plopped into the middle of a field, this person's property. And it's actually on like a chunk of track of like railroad ties and stuff. It's really cute. And then there's an outdoor bathroom and an outdoor shower. And I took an outdoor shower. I took a shower this morning and it was really nice. So it's a little enclosed area. No one can see in. There's a curtain, but the top is open. And if you took a shower at night, you could turn on, there's fairy lights above it. But I'm such a morning person. And last night I was so cozy in my bed and I was like, oh, I want to go out and look at the stars and take a shower. And I did come out and look at the stars for a minute, but the bugs were so bad that I had to go back inside. So I decided to get up and shower in the morning, which is just as lovely because I love mornings. I love mornings so much. Mornings like this, when I don't have to get up and rush and throw on my clothes and go to work and not have that sacred time in the morning to do things like this, that I'm just sitting outside. And if you hear any background noise, it's because the property across the way is doing something. I don't know. It sounds like they're felling trees and cutting brush and clearing things back there. There are also properties like Airbnb houses across the way and on the other side of the street. I can see there's like a bus and maybe a little cabin or something. I would be very upset if I was staying in one of those this weekend and waking up to that noise because I can hear it from across the way over here in my little spot. And I can only imagine how loud it is over there. But also I would hope if they had people booked, maybe they don't have people booked over there. If they did, that they wouldn't be doing that this morning when guests are staying. But I'm far enough away that it doesn't bother me. I can still hear plenty of birds and crickets, or maybe there's cicadas. I'm sitting in this little gazebo that doesn't have a cover. So you can see the sky. There's little fairy lights strung around here too. I was sitting out here last night. It was lovely, but the buggies, like I said, were bad. They're not too bad this morning. I've only gotten attacked by one mosquito so far. I've got my coffee. I just polished off a whole cinnamon roll. I can see Leo on the porch of the caboose. But I think he's okay. He's old. He's like 13 or 14 years old and he has some anxiety. He gets very anxious when he can't see me. So anytime I leave him, he barks. So he's sitting on the porch and he barked for a minute and then he's like, oh, I can see you from where I'm at. We're good. So he's chilling. I'm just having my coffee, enjoying the morning. And as I was sitting here, I was thinking about a lot of the other trips that I've taken, some by myself, some with other people. But the way that the light looks in the morning reminds me of a specific trip I took back in 2021. It was like before everything happened. And by everything, I mean like the divorce. Because by then I had already had my spiritual awakening. That I had already climbed that mountain and fell into the chasm of fire and came out the other side. But this was when I was starting my writing account. I had been writing for a while, for that summer, definitely, I think, but hadn't done anything with it. And I was with my ex at the time, and true to form, you know, I jump on the Airbnb app and just start looking for things. Cause he had suggested, he's like, why don't we go away for the weekend? So I looked on there and I was looking at places in North Carolina. The Carolinas have such a special place in my heart. If I wasn't going to move to Florida, because one day, I want to live in Florida, at least for a period of my life, then it would be probably North Carolina or South Carolina. I could see myself living there one day. And I'm also such a, I almost want to say indecisive, but that's not the right word for what I'm about to say. I want to experience so much, and there's so many places that I love, but the Carolinas and Florida are like those two states that I just have fallen in love with. So me being who I am, knowing what I know about myself, if I ever have the money for this one day, I would love to have two houses, a beach house, or as close to the beach as possible in St. Petersburg, Florida, and like a mountain house somewhere out like this, that's just like on a piece of property, where you can just be out in nature, probably in North Carolina. And I hope that I get to have that one day. If not, me, you know, we could always turn it into an Airbnb and I could rent it out. Come talk to me in a couple years. We'll see where I'm at. But where I'm at here this weekend, just with the surroundings, and like I said, the morning light, it's so soft and romantic and gentle and healing. It is so healing. But we stayed at this yurt in, I don't even know how to pronounce this town, Leicester, Leicester. And it was on a farm. They had a hops yard, like where they grow hops for beer. And the yurt was adorable and very small. Had a little creek that ran out front of it, and the property had, like, the welcome guy was this adorable, sweet dog. I don't know what kind of breed it was, but a very large one, almost like a, not a Saint Bernard, but somewhere in that vein. Picture that, a very large, husky-ish, bulky dog. So much fur. Kindest soul ever. And he would come and greet us every morning. There was a little bridge from the creek. So you had the creek that was outside of our yurt. And you have the yurt. And then there was a little like boardwalk that would go over the creek. And every morning, this dog would come and wait at the foot of the little bridge for us to like wake up and greet him. And it was so sweet. Oh, and I just spilled coffee on myself. That's okay. We'll have to wash the shirt. But I just remember the way the mornings felt. Really, I think the whole trip, how that felt, when I was in the higher space of my feelings. Because that trip was one where, it wasn't the trip where I realized I needed to get a divorce. That came a little bit later. But it was at a point in my life where we were definitely having a whole lot of issues. But when thoughts like that would come up, of course, I was not ready to deal with them. So I would just push them down. But it was a trip where a lot of magic happened. And I had this little notebook and I was writing my short little poems back then in the vein of like what you typically think of Insta poets, those short little micro poems. Very beautiful and wise sentiments, but I can definitely see how my writing has evolved. Wow, has my writing evolved? But I had this little notebook and I was writing poems and I took this picture and I had this poem framed against the backdrop of the North Carolina mountains. And that was, I think that was my first post on my writing account back then, which had a different name. As you know, the name I was born into this world with was not Maverick. I named myself legally. That is my legal name. But back then I had a different name and my writing account, I think, was MRG, which were my initials at the time, MRG Writes. And I had this picture and I was writing these poems, and that trip was what kind of sparked in me, or maybe, you know, I was in that space of being able to listen to my inner guidance, and I was rested and I was feeling the magic around me and heard that guidance of like, start an account for this. You should share your work. And I took this picture and I posted it, and that's kind of where everything bloomed from. So when I get to do things like this and be out in nature, listening to the birds, having my coffee in the morning, going slow, it reminds me of that. Like, beginnings. Beautiful beginnings. I was thinking about that too as I was eating my cinnamon roll. Eating the part that we all, well, maybe not, I'm not going to generalize and say everyone, but I think most people love most, the middle part of a cinnamon roll, you know, the one that's just all gooey cinnamon and icing, and it's the softest part. And I was thinking about how that's kind of the part of my life that I'm in. And I think the middle part of my life goes on for a while. Like, it is not as good as it's gonna get. It's gonna get better. But I also know I'm not in the beginning of my journey anymore. And I'm definitely not at the end. I am nowhere near the end. Y'all, I am gonna be here for a long time. I'm gonna live into my 90s. I know that. I used to think that I was gonna die young, but I had a very different mindset back then. And I also know a whole lot more. And if that is what I will to be, I can make that happen. I can choose for that to be the story. And I want that to be the story because I have so much story to live, and therefore so much story to write. So it's not the beginning of my journey. It's not the end. So I'm just in this ooey gooey, beautiful, delicious middle part. And I feel that so much with where I'm at, even though it's not where I want to be. You know, there's so much that I want to do, and there's so much that I still don't have, but the kicker is to not focus on that. Like, that's how manifestation happens, is you set your intentions, you're clear about what you want, but then you let it go. And you be okay with, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And it's when you just basically forget about all that, that it does happen. That's how my relationship happened. I wrote a poem that manifested him eventually. I had some very clear notes about how I wanted to feel in that relationship. And then I basically just forgot about it. And it happened when it happened. And a lot of other things in my life have happened like that too. And I know this will be no different. But we have to be grateful for the things that we have when we have them. Because you won't ever be given more until you appreciate what you have. And I have so much. Like this Airbnb trip, this little solo trip that I'm on, which is just one overnight. I'm an hour and a half away from where I live. I spent $15 on this place because I have other forms of abundance in my life. You have to have perspective on this. And this is what I was thinking of on the drive over here, is like, I'm really blessed to be able to do these things, but I'm, like I've said this on other podcast episodes, I am not rich by no means. I have a very simple and small salary, but I'm blessed in other ways. And the money that I do have, you know, I like to spend it on things like this for experiences. But the place that I work at, I'm so grateful for it. Even the times that I lament about, oh, you know, I have to go to work and be in a cage and look at a screen all day, not doing what I want, blah, blah, blah. Woe is me. You know, we all get in that space. And I still firmly believe, like, that's not what we are here to do in life at all. Unless you are going to an office doing something that you absolutely love, that is what we're here to do. But my work is an incubator. I am there for a period of my life so that I can do these other things. And what that job offers me, one thing it offers me is some really amazing perks. We have a marketing program where we do things to kind of promote the firm, and we get points, and you get enough points and you get a gift card, and you get to pick where your gift card is. And guess where my gift cards are always too. I always pick an Airbnb gift card. So I had $100. And so I had this idea. I was like, you know what? I really want to get away just for a night so I could podcast, so I can write, so I can read and just be out in nature. Jumped on the app, found a place for $80. And then with all the cleaning fees and stuff, it came out to $120, whatever it was, $115 or something. And that's a form of abundance. I also have so much time for my job. They worked with me to give me the schedule that I needed back in, I think it was 2021, when I had to drop down to 30 hours for mental health reasons. Unless it's something I'm super passionate about, doing things in the writing space, in the creating space, I'm a kitchens environment in human design. So anything where I am creating, I can go all day long. I have energy for that. But if it's me having to do this, the typical 9 to 5, proofing invoices, working at a tax firm, doing businessy things, it does not light me up. So therefore it takes energy away. But I had to drop to 30 hours, not because of necessarily that, but just the mental space I was in back then was not good. I was falling, and I was falling fast, and I was chronically stressed. And I told my work that, you know, I was vulnerable. I was a little bit afraid they were going to turn me down or fire me or something. I was like, I can't do this anymore. I cannot work 40 hours a week doing this. It's taking too much out of me, you know, and I'm basically a single mom on the days that I have my daughter. It's just me. I don't have any family here. I'm doing this all myself. And I was also going through a divorce at the time. And it was really, really, really hard on me because my whole entire life had been upended. And the contents of that box was falling out onto the concrete, smashing everywhere. And I had to be the one to pick up the pieces. And something that really helped me was dropping down to 30 hours. So I got some time back for me to really work on myself and put some time into this whole writing thing. And then over the course of the next year, I wrote my first book. And oh, I'm going to get emotional here. That is something I've always wanted to do, is just write books. That's all I've ever wanted to do in this life, is just write books and publish books and write stories and use my creativity to bring light and hope and entertainment, you know, to stories to the world. And then, you know, that evolved into telling my personal story, sharing more of that on Instagram. And we all know the story here. I started going to open mic nights, and then that evolved. I started a podcast, and then that evolved. And now I want to do public speaking, just to think of like where I came from to where I am now to where I'm going. Cinnamon middle part. And I think it's such a blessing to be able to be in this part of my life. Because I know one day there will come a time where I miss this. Where I can just get up and go for a single night and just be completely on my own. Take the time that I want, because I'm not super busy doing things. Granted, I know those things are going to be wonderful. But, you know, to come to know in the future when I have all the things that I want, however long that takes, to think back on this part of my life when I didn't and how happy and fulfilled I still was. That is the magic. There is so much magic in gratitude, in accepting the places that we are, in the spot in our life that we are. I think that is also the grace of darkness. When you are in those terrible, horrible parts of our lives where we feel like we're not going to make it out alive and we can't see in front of us, but somehow we make it through. And when we make it through, we can clearly see the lessons that we learned along the way, and those lessons that make us who we are, who we're going to become. It's because of those periods of our lives that make us stronger. But nobody wants to go through that. Oftentimes we're pushed. For me, it was COVID that really started bringing up those things, you know, having to be sequestered away, having all of these responsibilities dumped on top of you. I was battling anxiety and depression really badly. I had health anxiety that was just insane. Like I was a full-on hypochondriac. I thought I was dying. And then we had my spiritual awakening, and then we had all the stuff about the impending divorce coming up. Those big, big thoughts of, oh my God, like, I think I need to leave my husband. And one of the things that pushed me to that decision, many things, but one of the big ones was, as like I was writing that book, I was writing all of these poems. There was just my truth of how I felt. And I knew if I didn't leave that marriage, that book could never be. And that book was all I've ever wanted. So it was either continue self-abandoning, give up all of my dreams for something that wasn't even that great and I knew could not be saved, or do the hard thing, turn into that liquid goo of a caterpillar that happens inside the chrysalis, go through some really tough shit, come out the other side and be able to achieve my dream of being published. And I chose myself, and I never looked back. Except for, you know, moments like this to reflect, of course. But I'm so grateful for everything, the way it happened. And I love that this is my life. That I am someone who can do things like this. Come travel by myself. It's fun. Still need to record that episode. The magic of solo traveling. Because I have friends that still say, it's like, wow, I'm so inspired that you do this. I couldn't do that. Or my own mother and father, who kind of, you know, give me a weird look when I say I'm going to dinner by myself, or I'm going to go do this by myself. And I remember the first time I think I told my dad that, or maybe I was that I was going on a trip by myself or something. And he said, don't you get lonely? And I was like, no, it is the opposite for me. I am not lonely at all here. Not anymore, because I've found myself. I have a very strong connection with myself. And because of that, I now feel very connected to the world around me. Those walls have come down. And I've let the world in because I've stopped pushing everything away. So when I'm here by myself, I'm not really here by myself. We're not really ever alone. Of course not. Especially if you believe in spirit guides and angels and the unseen like I do. But it's not lonely. I'm just on my own, but I feel no loneliness. I'm still very connected, you know. And also, while I don't have internet connection here where I'm at, we still have technology. If you are by yourself and you do get lonely, you can always call someone. You can text someone. You can jump on Instagram and get on your stories. Or look at somebody else's stories. That's something I do really love about Instagram specifically, is when I travel, I love to share my adventures when I have connection, of course. And being on stories and sharing, oh, this is what I'm doing. This is what I did today. This is what I'm doing tomorrow. Look where I'm at. I love that when I get responses from that, when I get the interaction and people will DM me and comment, and I love, obviously, conversation. So even when I'm by myself, I do like to do that because it still is a way to stay connected. But of course, like being out here sitting, having my coffee, there's birds, there's little critters and bugs. Leo is here. I have my dog. I have my words. That's the one thing that has just gotten me through everything. And there are few things in this world I love as much as writing. I mean, there are some things, of course. There's some very special people. But writing is just, it's my sustenance. It's my nourishment. It is my light in the dark. It's what got me through those really, really low moments. I don't know if you can hear that. There's a whole bunch of, I don't know if those are crows or what, just flew over. Yeah, but my writing, it brings me so much joy too. It's healing, it's entertainment, it's fun, it's time travel, it's manifestation, it's magic, it's medicine. And I know we all have things like this, right? Not everybody feels that way about writing. Even some writers probably don't feel that way about writing. I have a very, very strong relationship with writing. I think I was, I mean, I must have had other past lives as writers, as artists for sure. But the way that writing hits me, it's so strong. But maybe for you, that's something different. Maybe it's painting or dance, or maybe it's not even something in the creative arts. You know, some people get so much fulfillment from what they do that's not something artistic, what we typically think is artistic. Some people actually like love being an accountant. Some people really love being a nurse or a teacher, helping other people. Some people just get all of their fulfillment, or as much fulfillment as, you know, maybe a lot more than I did, I think, from motherhood. I think that's beautiful. I think my mom is that way. I think her calling in this life, she's a Cancer, by the way, which makes so much sense. Her calling in life was just to be a mother, and she was a wonderful mother. Very anxious, which is where my anxiety came from, and was not very, what's the word here? I don't know. She didn't necessarily encourage me to go after my dreams purely from a standpoint of financial stability. She just, you know, I get it. Her and my dad wanted the best for me. They wanted me to be safe and to be financially stable, and wanted me to choose the safe path. And I got very persuaded and pushed away from my dreams and picked a path that I do not use. Spent a lot of money on a degree that I don't use, but I paid off all my student loan debt, so it's all good. But she was someone, I think, who was very much meant to be a mother in this life. And me and my brother bring her so much joy and fulfillment. And that's just not the case for me. Of course, I love my daughter. And I think there are wonderful parts of being a mother. But fulfillment for me is not derived from motherhood. It's derived from writing, from creating. And of course, like motherhood that's a form of creating, right? Like physically, actually creating. That's probably the greatest form of creation there is to create a human in your body. I think that it still blows my mind, science, which is why I went into biology. Science has always fascinated me, and it comes out a lot in my writing, actually. I do use it in my writing. But the fact that we can make a tiny human in our bodies, we can grow a human in our bodies. That sounds so otherworldly when you put it like that. Like, I can grow a human in my body. And then we have a portal between our legs and we usher souls from what, wherever the soul comes from, right? Comes into the fetus, into the body, and then we birth it into this world. How is that not magic? Really, like, I think so much of science is just magic and we explain a lot of it away. And there's so much yet to still be discovered that will not, mark my words, it will not be able to be explained by science. Science cannot explain everything. And whatever that magic is, like, I'm gonna try and prove it as much as I can. But some people I know, they still won't believe me. But I've gone on a tangent here anyway. Back to what I was saying about motherhood. I think that is wonderful that there are people, souls in this world that get that much joy and fulfillment from not just being from being parents, from raising children, because that's the hardest job there is. That is such a hard job, which is why I am one and done. Like, it's tough. It's very tough, but also like very rewarding. I have learned so much already. My daughter teaches me so much, and I try. I hope she's learning from me as well. But I knew I couldn't just be wife, mother, and then do my creative stuff on the side. I want my creativity to take precedence. I want my dreams to lead, because there's so much that I want in this world. And I gave that to myself. And now I get to do things like this. Having my coffee. Watching the sun come up through the trees in the field. I am now, oh gosh, I think I'm up to like 5 mosquito bites now in the short time that I've been sitting out here. Enjoying the rest of my morning until I have to pack up and go back to Chattanooga today. And then I'm doing my first Agora meeting is this afternoon that I'm very excited about. So I will let you know how that goes. It's just going to be me and I'm not sure how many people RSVP'd, but people are coming. So I got a little icebreaker game that we can play. One of those conversation starters. And it's just going to be a bunch of women hanging out, drinking coffee, trying to connect, telling our stories. I'm excited to hear a little bit about everyone. I know already some of the women that are coming, but these women don't know each other. So I want us to all share a little bit about ourselves. And I love that I'm starting this, that this is something I am birthing into the world. For as much as I don't feel fulfilled by motherhood in the traditional sense, this is my perspective on this. I see all of my creations as children. And I think, if I remember correctly from my astrology, my natal birth chart reading with Stephanie Powers of Lightworkers Lounge. Amazing human, by the way. If you have ever wanted to have an astrology reading, I highly recommend her. And she told me my midheaven is in Cancer. So I do have this very motherly energy. It's just not pinpointed on or limited to, rather. It's not limited to my child. And that's kind of how I'm starting to like see myself, is like in a way of just mothering the people in my life, and not mothering in a bad way, not like smother kind of mother. I mean, just like nurturing. And then if you think about this in terms of Super Bloom society, we have the nature and nurture retreats, right? Where we're nurturing creativity and community and connection in women. And I feel like that's what I do with my books, is like I want to connect with people and nurture people with my words, with my gifts, and be a mother in that sense. And I see all my books like as children. And I'm literally birthing things into the world that way. You know, it takes a long time to put a book together, to actually write the things and compile the things. And I take such great care with my books. I have a very, very specific vision for each book, how they need to look, even right down to how I want the covers and the paper to feel. I have a very specific vision, and it it takes a long time to grow that from conception in the mind to birthing a physical product. I very much see it as a birthing process. I'm putting these creations out into the world to then always with the intention of them finding who they need to find so that that person can get whatever they need to get from that, which a lot of my stuff is just very like hopeful. That is also, that's my motivation in human design, hope. That has always carried me through. For as dark as shit has gotten before, I never gave up. And I have some stories about that. Specifically, the one that comes to mind is my spiritual awakening story. When I thought I was going to need to go be in like an institution for a little bit. Like my mental health was not good. And I was spiraling out of control mentally. But I never lost hope. And at that time, like a big part of the reason, aside from my own writing, of like what got me, helped get me through that was like the people in my life at the time, the connections that I happened to find when I found them. And also like songs, music was a big thing. Even posts on Instagram, knowledge, learning about what was happening to me spiritually, learning new ideas, exposing myself to new ideas, new schools of thought. We find what we need to find when we need to find it. It comes to help us. It comes into our energetic field. We kind of, you know, subconsciously manifest it into our life. Or people are sent to help us. And I hope that's what my books are for other people. Like my first book, Press Petals, about my divorce journey and subsequent healing journey. I hope that that finds the people it needs to find. And I hope that it's a light for them and a reminder that it gets better. My second book, Hope and Other Beautiful Things, right there in the title. It's a feel-good book. If you are feeling really low and down and you just want to be reminded that for all the terrible chaos in this world, for all the darkness, it also has light. That's what that book is. It's a reminder. Look at all the magic that is around us. You just have to open your eyes and your heart to see it. And then my third book that I'm working on, that I'm actively working on, that, I know, like, whenever I'm working on a book, I'm focused on that book and I'm just so into it. And I'm like, oh, this is the best thing I've ever written. And then I put the thing out. I get excited. We ride that wave for a little bit and then boop, drops off onto the next. Very manifester of me. But my third book, I'm working on it right now. And it's just, I am most excited for this one. If it all plays out the way it is in my head, we will see, because it could go very differently than I have planned. But I have big ideas for this book. Like I said, I'm not going to spoil the ending, but it is not your typical poetry book at all. I don't do typical. I like to break out of the box. I like to do things my own way. Like I said, it's 51,000 words. She's a thick lady, y'all. She's a thick lady. Because I have too much to say, especially when it comes to love. This is my Libra rising. I am such a lover of love. And we've had, me and Piano Man, my boyfriend, partner, whatever you want to call him. We've had so many beautiful experiences together. And even when we weren't together, even in those moments, it's things he said or just like feelings that I felt from being so grateful that this person is in my life, grateful for my journey, that all that darkness like brought me to him, like brought us together to be able to write this book. That's another thing with my creativity, with my creations that I put out into the world, these books. None of these books and the ones that are still yet to come, oh my God, there's so much that's coming. None of this stuff would exist if I hadn't chose me, if I hadn't gone through what I'd gone through, even before the divorce. The person I was before, just growing up, the experiences that I went through, the harrowing experiences, the deep, deep self-hatred and self-loathing, the body dysmorphia, the eating disorder, the self-mutilation, the depression, the anxiety, the loneliness, to alchemize all of that with my gifts that I came into this world with. We're all given these things to weather those moments. Whether your gift is maybe just simply connecting, like maybe you're really good at talking to people and making connections, that's a gift. And then, of course, we have the creativity. But we all have something within us that is unique to us and we came into this world with. And sometimes it just takes those kinds of experiences to find them, to unearth those treasures within ourselves, learn how to use them, hone those gifts and those skills. And then this is when things really start happening for you. Oh, there's a spider near me. Okay. This is when the magic starts happening. When you take those gifts, those God-given gifts or whatever you believe in, those intrinsic things that only you have, and you use them to help other people, that's when you get everything you want. Because you're serving. But at the same turn of that coin, like, you were serving yourself as well, because you were following your soul's purpose, your soul's blueprint. You're doing what you came here to do naturally, just because it's something that lights you up. You're following your passion and your joy. And that is the thing that leads the way and ripples out to help other people. Like you, that's why I'm such a proponent of authenticity. You just being you, not trying to be anybody else, you just doing your thing, allows other people to be themselves and do more of that. And you just naturally doing your thing is already helping people. Even if you don't, you know, try to like follow it as a career, because it's not what everybody wants to do. So many, many people that write, especially like the people that go to the poetry night that I go to, just write for purely for creativity. And you should really always just do it for yourself. Whatever brings you joy, you're creating for you. But the magic here is that it's still helping other people in some way. Even if you don't share it, the thing is you're still putting that energy out into the world, that energy of love and compassion, because you're doing it for yourself. Even if you're in a low spot and you don't feel so great, even if you're in a dark moment and you're using your creativity or your gifts, whatever it is, to kind of weather those storms, you're alchemizing darkness. And you're putting that energy into the collective of light. And that has an effect. Energy doesn't need an audience. Energy doesn't need you to make this into a career. It's just you being yourself. You loving whoever you want to love. You choosing what you want to choose. Making your own way in this world. Separate from what other people want for you or expect of you. That's of a certain vibration that this world needs more of. And maybe for you, that looks like something like this that I'm doing, is following your bliss, doing the next right thing, as Olaf would say, which mine was like, hey, let's take an overnight trip tonight. I'm creating joy within myself. I'm creating excitement. I'm creating light. And I'm sending that energy out into the world. So maybe let's wrap this up and leave this here. So, homework. What is that one thing that you could do today? Especially if, because we all have super busy lives and we all know what the economy is and how everything is going up in price. A lot of us don't have extra cash to throw around. I know I don't. I spend sometimes like I do on my clothes. But what is something small that you could do today or tomorrow to bring yourself a little bit of joy? Is it sitting on your porch and having a cup of coffee and listening to the birds? Is it getting out a piece of paper and just doodling and scribbling. I say piano man because that's how I refer to him in my book. But I know on here I've said Jake before. And I'm sure I'm going to have him on the podcast at one time. But when I say scribbling and doodling, I think of Jake because he started doing this at a couple of the open mic poetry nights. They put pieces of paper on all the tables in case you want to write things down as other people are speaking, if you get inspired. And he's not a writer, although he has written me a couple beautiful poems. So one could argue that, but when he comes with me to open mic, he will sit there and just like doodle and draw and sketch these like very random, silly and strange creations that I find so beautiful. And it's just pure creativity, just leaning into whatever he's feeling, and just these little things come out. But like, is it something like that? Can you just sit down and scribble away without it having to be anything, especially without it having to be anything, quote, good? You know, what can you do just for you? Maybe taking some time to read a book today, or spending some intentional time with your kids, if you have kids, or your friends, going for a run, taking a yoga class. I've started watching, I found this speaker channel, medium, whatever you want to call it, on Instagram randomly. His name is Daryl Anka. He channels an entity, like an ET entity, which I know is going to sound batshit to some of y'all. I fully subscribe to all of this stuff though, and one day, I think one day we're going to know a lot of things that have been kept from us. But he channels this entity named Bashar, and one of Bashar's teachings, which is very much in the same vein of like all the spirituality stuff, like this teaching that I'm about to say is probably nothing new to some of y'all, but it's basically just letting your joy lead you to do whatever lights you up in the moment. And then you do that enough times, it's going to lead you where you ultimately need to be. But he says, we're presented with options and choices all the time. And when we have the ability to, you know, if we're not at work and we have all current obligations and responsibilities, where can we make those little choices to follow our excitement and our passion? So for me right now, I'm almost done with my cup of coffee. What am I going to do next? That's going to be the next thing that's going to excite me. And I think it might be sitting down at my computer inside the little caboose at the little tiny kitchen table and work on my book for a little bit for the next hour until I need to pack up and go home. That's something that would bring me a lot of joy in this next, these next couple of minutes here as I wrap up. And then I'll drive home. And then the next thing that's going to excite me is I'm going to pick out a fun outfit for this meetup that I have. And then I'm going to go to that meetup. And then the next exciting thing after that is I get to see Jake when he gets off work and spend time with him. And then we get to decide together what's going to bring us the most joy for the time that we'll have tonight. And then tomorrow, I will see my daughter. Tomorrow is my day to have her. I get to plan the day with her and pick things that will bring us both excitement. And then into the work week we go. And here's where it gets tricky. You have to build the perspective when we are in those moments where we kind of feel some resistance, where it's like, oh, I really don't want to be at work right now. What about it at work can you pluck and find to make it a little bit more magical and a little bit more exciting? For me, I know that is either like making my coffee in the morning and putting it in a really cute mug on to take to my to work, or if I have the time in the morning, to stop somewhere and treat myself with a little cup of coffee from like my favorite coffee shops in Chattanooga. And then when I get to work, you know, we have my work, but like on a break or something, to take a couple minutes to write something down or read a book or go for a walk. There are things you can do within the constraints of your restrictions and obligations, especially if we're talking about in terms of work or like parenting, if you're having a really tough day or you just like, you know, having a mom day where you just don't want a mom. You got to find those moments that you can hold on to. Okay, what are the choices that are available to me right now that are going to bring me some excitement and joy so I can generate that light in my body and that energy. So think about that for today, the coming week. How can you find a little bit more light and joy? Whatever that is. And the answer might surprise you. All right, we're going to wrap it up here. I can't believe I've already been talking for almost an hour. So this has been my little solo speech out here. I do this a lot, actually. It's just that I've started recording myself as I do it. I'm always talking to myself for actually like significant lengths of time, rather. But I'm like I said, I'm never really talking to myself, y'all. Even when I'm not recording, we have help. There are beings that are listening to us. And the universe, for sure, is always listening. So be careful with your words. Always have good intentions. Okay, gonna wrap this up. I hope you found something useful out of this, if nothing else. Maybe some entertainment out of my ramblings and musings. And we'll catch you next time.
Thanks for sticking around until the very end. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to support my one-woman show, please subscribe and share it on social media or leave a rating and review. Those are the best ways to show your love and support for my work and will help this podcast to be found more easily, and that in turn helps this whole thing grow. To catch the latest from me, you can follow me on Instagram at Mav Malone. Let's connect. My DMs are always open and I'd love to hear from you. If you want to stay up to date on the latest events, books, podcast episodes, and hear more from me, you can sign up for my Substack newsletter, Junk Drawer, at maverickmalone.substack.com. Thanks again, and I'll see you next time.